You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, July 15th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB Prospects. It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of the MLB. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Aram is great. Go listen to that wherever you get your podcast, wherever you get this podcast. You'll also get Locked On MLB Prospects. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily. Lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins as we trudge through this All-Star break with no Twins baseball. And it's a really interesting time. And we talked about Jose Barrios a little bit. We've talked about Michael Pineda's trade value. We're going to talk about a Twin today that I think is flying under the radar in terms of people underestimating the chance that he could be moved. I don't think it's likely that this player gets moved, but I think people are underestimating the likelihood that there may be a more than, 30% chance that this player gets moved, perhaps 25, 40, and in that range. And it's Max Kepler. And Max Kepler is a fan favorite. Certainly when you walk around Target Field, I like to look at the jerseys that everyone has on. And I've been to a lot of Twins games this summer looking at jerseys. And overwhelming majority, it's a lot of Max Kepler. I mean, a lot of Jose Barrios and Nelson Cruz as well. But Max Kepler is one that stands out to me that I see all the time. People love him here. He is a fan favorite, and he was such a catalyst for that 2019 team as a leadoff hitter and just kind of guiding that offense with how many good hitters they had. I mean, Kepler was a huge part of that. But you got to look at the baseline, and we're going to do the same activity we did with Jose Barrios where we looked at the contract, we looked at the numbers, and then we talk about teams that could be interested in what Max Kepler could bring back in a deal based on all of those things, as we did with Barrios. If you want to hear the Barrios one, we did it last week, and he's certainly the one guy who would bring back the most in a trade for the Twins. That's not, Alex Kirilloff or Trevor Larnach, but guys who are free agents in 2023 among those, that group with Buxton, Barrios, and Rogers. Barrios is the one that would bring back the biggest haul. Even anyone who's under contract right now past, anyone who's under contract at all that's not in pre-arbitration, Barrios is the most valuable, I think, certainly. And that includes Luis Arraez, who I don't think the Twins will, I don't think they'll move him. But that includes him. Like, Barrios is that valuable to them and valuable on the trade market because he's the best starting pitcher that could be available, I think, on this market. And we talked a lot about that last week. But let's look at Kepler. Then we're going to talk about some storylines for the second half this year. Tomorrow's Prospect Friday, and my goodness, we have a phenomenal pitching performance to talk about and just an amazing stretch for the Twins' top pitching prospect top two pitching prospect. Jordan Balazovic was just amazing tonight for Wichita. We're going to talk about that outing tomorrow and how good he's been after a couple rough starts earlier on, but he's been great, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about Jose Miranda, who, guess what, had another huge night for St. Paul. Continued his dominance, and Yennier Cano had a nice night. We're going to talk about all those guys tomorrow on Prospect Friday, but let's focus on Max Kepler in the second half of the 2021 Minnesota Twins season, a season that we can't forget, but one that we'd like to forget thus far. Hopefully they're better in the second half. But you look at Kepler, and he signed that extension before the 2019 season with Jorge Polanco's, famously those two together doing it. It was interesting because even midway through 2019, you're like, oh, that was a great extension for the Twins. It was a great extension. And I still think when you look at this, and after 2019, they looked brilliant for extending Max Kepler and Jorge Polanco. And that's faded, certainly, since then. But when you look at it, I still think it was a good extension for Max Kepler because I still think he has a lot of value in a trade right now. He's set to make $6.75 million next year. He's set to make $8.5 million guaranteed in 2023. And then the Twins have a team option for $10 million in 2024. They can buy him out for $1 million. So what you're looking at is Max Kepler's owed total guaranteed money about $19.25 million for the next 2.5 seasons. That includes the rest of 2021, all of 2022, all of 2023. And if a team picks up that option, it's like $24 million for 3.5 seasons. So That's what you're looking at with Kepler. I think that's about what he's worth. I think you're getting some excess value because of the defense, but let's talk about it. His first three seasons as a regular, 2016 to 2018, he hit just .233. On base, .314, slugged .418. He was a below league average hitter as a right fielder, 96 OPS plus, but 7.8 Baseball Reference, wins above replacement. That's on pace for over three, over 162 game span. Pretty good regular from 2016 to 2018. The last three seasons, you look at him this year, he's actually been better offensively this year than he was last year, and he was above average offensively last year, and he's been hot lately and has been playing a lot better. So his numbers are up on the season. But since 2019, Max Kepler has hit .241. We know the batting average is low. The batting average of balls in place is low. On base, though, has jumped to .328. Again, it was .314 in his first three seasons as a major league regular. And then his slugging percentage is the biggest thing. Has jumped to .490, almost 70 or 72 points since those first three seasons. And his OPS plus is .119. So he's been a 19% better than league average hitter since 2019. And again, that doesn't just mean 2019. He's been above league average the last 2 years pretty solidly, actually. I think at .110 OPS plus last year, and then he's at .115 this year, just given how bad offense has been around baseball, and it's picking up. But 5.9 Baseball Reference, wins above replacement, over 162 game span, he's up to four. So a really good regular. Going from a solid, you know, average to solid regular in his first three seasons to a good regular over the last three seasons, and a huge part of that is his defense, and the defense doesn't look good this year. He's dealing with the hamstring. It's the eye test checks out because you see him running for balls. You see him running to make catches. He just doesn't look right, and I don't think he's completely healthy. He's dealt with the hamstring all year. I think he's dealt with other things probably, and he doesn't look healthy defensively, and that takes away so much of his value, you know, when he doesn't look right defensively. Among 52 outfielders who've played at least 200 games since 2019, Max Kepler ranks 18th in OPS plus. He's tied for 31st in on-base percentage, 16th in slugging percentage, and 16th in Baseball Reference wins above replacement. So top 20 outfielder, yeah. I mean, I think by those numbers, I mean, you got a lot of outfielders coming up that are better than him like right now. I mean, you think of like Seth Mullins or who's broken out. I mean, you have to include those guys who haven't racked up as many games over the last three seasons. But, you know, he's a solid to good regular. And over the last 3 years, he's kind of fluctuated between that. In 2019, he was a great regular. In 2020, he was a pretty good regular. So far this year, I mean, the overall numbers look good, but when he plays, he's been more like average or even below average than we're used to seeing from him. But recently, he's been good to great again at the plate. But on defense, I mentioned, just not the same. Let's look at the considerations for trading Max Kepler and ultimately what the Twins could get for him after the break. Today's episode of Locked On Twins is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free long cut and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches, nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Cobb.
So you might think to yourself, why would the Twins trade Max Kepler? They got him under contract on a pretty team-friendly deal. He's a fan favorite. He's a leader. All those things do matter, and those are considerations. He's already leading Trevor Larnach and Alex Kirilloff. They talk about it, how Max Kepler's been a leader for them. But you look at Larnach and you look at Kirilloff and you look at Arise and you look at the Twins situation right now, because I don't think they're moving Jorge Polanco and he's going to be their second baseman. So they need a shortstop. And in that case, I mean, Donaldson could be gone, but Jose Miranda's just shooting up the charts and has been so good that I want to see him be the regular third baseman if Donaldson is gone. So you have a little bit of a logjam where Luis Arise, I think, is going to stay in that utility role, or at least I think is going to stay playing a lot of left field. So in that case, you have Arise in left, Buxton in center, you know, Larnach in right, and Kirilloff at first base. That's your that could be your outfield next year, with Kirilloff at first, with Miranda at third if Donaldson's gone. If not, Donaldson's at third. And the DH spot will be open unless they re-sign Nelson Cruz. And Buxton also is a huge question mark always. But Kepler, really, they haven't wanted to play him in center field at all this year, and I get it, because for those reasons I mentioned, he hasn't been healthy. And the numbers haven't been good out there even the last couple of years in center. I think he's a solid center fielder. He has the range. Like, he's very graceful out there. He's a good outfielder, really good right fielder, fine center fielder. And that's again, a lot of his value, because he spells Byron Buxton. When Buxton's hurt, we saw him play with Jay Cave and kind of split that time in 2019 and again in 2020 when Buxton was out. And this year, too, I mean, he's playing center against righties as well when Nick Gordon isn't out there, when Celestino isn't out there. But not regularly. He's not their everyday center fielder, and I understand that. But it's a consideration, because what does he give you in right field that Trevor Larnach would not, or that Alex Kirilloff would not? It's very, you know, redundant. It's fairly redundant, you know. And if you have Luis Arise in left field, those are three left-handed bats right there. Larnach, Kirilloff, Arise, that I think are the future of the Minnesota Twins offensively. That they're gonna build this lineup around Trevor Larnach, Alex Kirilloff, and Luis Arise. And I don't know if Max Kepler is the best fit to be built around those three. He was a great fit for the offense before that had Jonathan Scope, CJ Cron in 2019, that kind of adapted with Buxton and Rosario. He was a really nice complement to Rosario as a left-handed bat. But I just don't know if it makes much sense anymore. Does it work? It could. You know, that's a really tough kind of gauntlet there for righties when Kepler's on and those three are in their lineup. That's tough. You know, Larnach, Kirilloff, Arise, and Kepler, all four of them. But I just don't know if it makes as much sense now that you have Arise playing so much left field that you need a shortstop. You have third base is locked up, whether it's Donaldson or Miranda. Like, I'm that confident in Miranda, and you don't want to get going on these prospects and before they've even been to the majors, but I'm really excited about him at third. And it just makes you think about this and where Kepler kind of fits in long term, even over the next couple of years. And you think about that potential return. I think this is another case of the way he's played over the last couple of weeks. I think there's a lot of competitors and contenders out there, given how kind of muddied the field is. I mean, you've seen teams that were not supposed to be good, like the Boston Red Sox, San Francisco Giants. And that opens up more contenders that you didn't expect who might need an outfielder. And you're going to ask, like, why trade him now? Again, because he's not having a great year, but he's been really good recently. So teams that may be interested, and this one's going to suck, and then you can cover your ears, but the New York Yankees, I mean, you think about Max Kepler roaming center field for the Yankees. They lost Aaron Hicks for the season. You could see him for the rest of this year as the Yankees try to make a push and try to go on a run here, and they had a COVID outbreak today. Canceled game. Hopefully everyone comes out of that okay. But the Yankees could use Max Kepler in center field, and you think about him at Yankee Stadium, elevating the ball at Yankee Stadium. Target Field's tough on lefties, but Yankee Stadium is like the most lefty-friendly park in all of baseball. You think about the damage he could do there, and, you know, you can move Judge to center. You can play Kepler in right some days, and then you can play Kepler in center and play Judge in right. They've played Judge in center a decent amount this year, not a ton, but they've done it. You can get Kepler off his feet and play Gardner instead of playing Gardner every day. He becomes your role player. He's been terrible, and I think the Yankees would prefer that. I don't know. I think it makes some sense. When you look at the Yankees farm system, I always go for quality over quantity when we're looking at this, and I'll never be right, but Luis Medina, their number 7 prospect, looks absolutely terrific. Huge stuff. 99 fastball, I think, gets up to and is just great. And then another right-hander, Alex Vizcaino, their number 10 prospect, more huge stuff. That's what you look for. You know, you can look for Max Kepler In a good farm system, like the 6 to 12 range of prospect, and then maybe another in the 15 to 19 range, and then maybe another in the 25 to 28 range. Like, I think you could get a decent package for him for the player he is now. And I think people and teams may feel that once he gets healthier, he'll be better too. So I think you could get a good package. The other New York club, the Mets, could also use Max Kepler. Kevin Pillar's playing center field, and we know he's defensively really good, but offensively is not. Kepler could play center for them. Makes some sense. And then the St. Louis Cardinals as well, who just need some offense and need some offense from the left side of the plate. Some guys, the Mets, JT Ginn, who I really like, their number six prospect, and then the 19-year-old Robert Dominguez, who's got big-time stuff as well. St. Louis Cardinals, 19-year-old Edwin Nunez, their number 10 prospect. Again, right-handers with big-time stuff. That's what we're looking for here. But Jordan Walker, third base prospect, number six in the system, only 19, huge upside. Excited about him. I would love for the Twins to try to pry him away. May require Jose Berrios to St. Louis instead of Max Kepler, but those are some guys I'm thinking about. Should the Twins trade Max Kepler? Tweet at me, at NashWalker9. Tweet at the show, at LockedOnTwins. Do you think it makes sense? Tweet at me, and let's talk about the second half storylines after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code LOCKEDON. So Charlie Barnes, lefty, going to make his MLB debut Friday in Detroit on the season at AAA. Barnes, 11 starts, 3.88 ERA, 20% strikeout rate, 7.6% walk rate. Watch for that changeup from Charlie Barnes. We'll see if he can show the Twins that maybe he brings himself into the question of a long-term, fourth, fifth, sixth swing starter for the Twins. And best of luck to Charlie tomorrow in Detroit. Rain all day, so maybe they won't play this doubleheader, but we'll see. Taylor Rogers was named to the All-Star game late. Rogers gave up the grand slam in Sunday's win over Detroit, but was having a phenomenal year, is having a phenomenal year, and deserves to be an All-Star, and has deserved to be an All-Star. He deserved to be an All-Star in 2018, 2019, and now again in 2021. And finally, he gets the nod. Super cool. He's already in Denver, just drives right over, and he's there. He didn't pitch in the game. Liam Hendricks gets the save for the American League. So many good pitchers in the All-Star game, and especially on the American League. So I don't think Carlos Rodon got in the game either. He's been outstanding for the White Sox this year. But Taylor Rogers, congratulations. To finish with a winning record this year, the Twins will have to go 43-30 or better from here on out, or 73 games, 43-30 or better to win 83 or more games. Some storylines to watch in the second half. Starting pitching debuts. Jordan Balazovic, Josh Winder, Yoan Duran, I'm looking at you. Yoan Duran, currently on the injury list, elbow problems, so I think it's unlikely we'll see him. But Jordan Balazovic, Josh Winder, I think you're going to definitely see them if they can stay healthy. Balazovic, I mentioned, amazing outing tonight. 18-plus scoreless inning streak. Josh Winder has been the breakout pitcher of the year for the Twins, is already up in St. Paul and pitching well. I think you're going to see those two. That's something to watch in the second half. How soon do we see them, and how do they perform when they get here? Jose Miranda, keep talking about him because I'm so excited about the numbers he's putting up and the mix of power and contact ability that I think Twins fans are going to love from Jose Miranda. He's a dynamic hitter. I mentioned he's got the power, he's got the contact ability, and he's aggressive. And I'm excited to see his emergence continue and to see where that leads him in 2021 and beyond. I'm excited about Jose Miranda, like buying jerseys, almost excited about Jose Miranda. Speaking of Jose's, Jose Berrios, Taylor Rogers, Byron Buxton, Josh Donaldson, Max Kepler, will they be on the Minnesota Twins after the trade deadline? No doubt the biggest storyline to watch right now is those five, Berrios, Rogers, Buxton, Donaldson, Kepler. I think the others are either shoo-ins to get traded, like Nelson Cruz or Hansel Robles or Michael Pineda, or I think are very unlikely to get traded, like Luis Urias. So those are the guys I'm watching, or Miguel Sano, given the trade value right now. Speaking of Miguel Sano, watching him, watching Max Kepler, watching Jorge Polanco, what can they give you? Can they show you? I think Polanco has and Kepler recently. Sano at points. Can they show you that at least they should be in the conversation to be starters on the team next year? I mentioned Kepler, certainly a quality major leaguer, and Polanco too. But you'd like to see more from them in the second half. And Sano needs to, he needs to prove that maybe he should get some looks at DH next year and just should be in the mix at all in 2022. So watch those three. On the mound, what version of Kenta are we going to get in the second half? And what does it say about 2022? Are you going to get the last two starts? Kenta's look like 2020 Kenta? Or are you going to get the Kenta we saw for much of this season so far, which is not a good version? Trevor Larnach, adjustments. He's been struggling lately. Excited to see the adjustments he makes at the big league level and to watch his progression. And that goes for Alex Kirilloff as well, who I think is a little more advanced at this point. But we're watching him because of the wrist. You know, is the wrist going to hold up for the rest of the year for Alex Kirilloff? Only time will tell. The trust in Jorge Alcala. Twins really excited, I know, coming in about Jorge Alcala as a sixth or seventh inning option. He's really struggled as of late. Can he build some more trust there in the second half to, again, be in the conversation or cement himself into a bullpen spot for next year? That's a big thing to watch in the bullpen, and I think a big development given the lack of options the Twins have under contract next year in the bullpen. Speaking of bullpen arms, Giovanni Moran and Yennier Cano, two breakout bullpen prospects for the Twins, or relief prospects, I should say, for the Twins. Moran, a lefty with a great changeup. Yennier Cano, righty with big-time stuff. Do they make their debuts for the Twins this year? Watch for Moran, watch for Cano, and watch for reasons to believe that the Twins will contend in 2022, because that's the biggest storyline in the second half. It is not the Twins making a wild card push. It is not the Twins looking for their third straight division title. It's sadly, after the trade deadline, what are they going to show us to have us believe that they'll contend in 2022? Will they take steps to not contend in 2022, like trading Jose Berríos and Taylor Rogers or Byron Buxton? Or will they not make those steps and try to contend in 2022? And what are they going to show us? You know, what are they going to show us to have us believe that? Because right now it's pretty ugly. Twins playing better ball. Hopefully they can jump out of the break. I think they have four more with the tread out of the break. How about eight in a row over the Tigers? We'll take it. Hurt AJ Hinch and hurt the division rival Tigers there. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. Prospect Friday tomorrow. It'll either be out tomorrow night or Saturday, so get ready for that. Can't wait to talk Jordan Balazovic. Can't wait to talk Jose Miranda, as always, and others as well. Yennier Cano, I mentioned. Nice outing yesterday, so we'll talk about him. But join us then. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at LockedOnTwins. And go Twins. Hopefully they have a good second half here. It gets underway tomorrow, hopefully, if the rain cooperates, and we'll see. Thanks again for listening.